Morning, family. Everybody well? That was a bit of a tight fit this morning to get here in time. Had a good service in the south and just launching a whole lot of new things happening there as here. So it took a little bit longer, but it's good to be with you. Worship time was so special, wasn't it? Just to sense the Father's heart for all of us and His goodness. This is the beginning of a new term. So particularly what I'd like to do today is to launch our new theme for this term, but also actually for the following term, as we're going to spend a time considering a particular topic, which is actually around a book of the Bible, till up until the end of the year. It's about 4 months, which roughly translates to about 13 or 14 messages, and we're going to have a lot of fun with this topic. And the theme's title is Wisdom for Life. How many of you know that wisdom is an important thing to have? You convinced? Are you sure? I think wisdom is something that we all know we need. And it's often commented about the times that we live in that although we are drowning in knowledge, it seems that we still have a bit of a scarcity on wisdom. We know a lot about a lot, but we don't always know what we're supposed to do with what we know. And wisdom is important, and we every day, each of us needs wisdom for so many different things. A couple of years ago, as a family, we visited down in the Eastern Cape on holiday, and it's not where we always go. I know a couple of weeks ago, I said, I'm not going to tell you where we go. Now you're going to start piecing it together. And I've already heard people that are checking my old Facebook page statuses to check where we were. So this is not a clue to give that away. But we were down in the Eastern Cape and having a holiday, and we visited an organization that works with sharks. And they protect sharks and look after the area and the sharks in the area. And one of the things they also do is they export sharks. When sharks are caught in the nets, they rehabilitate them. They make sure they are healthy and well. And then there's aquariums across the world that need sharks. So they would export these sharks. So when we visited them, they showed us these tanks where they keep some of these sharks. Nice 2.5-3 meter long ragged tooth sharks. Now, how many of you have ever seen a ragged tooth shark? I've had the obviously Hardy has. We've dived together, scuba dived together, and we actually encountered a ragged tooth shark underwater one day. And they've got teeth everywhere. They're just ugly. Just lots of skew teeth, need good orthodontic work. But these sharks, particularly prevalent in that area, so they would have these sharks that have been caught, and then they would put them in tanks and make sure they're well and look after them. And then they would put them in a transport tank, which is a smaller tank with the right seawater in it, everything they need. And then this tank would get loaded onto a plane, and they fly them to Japan or wherever in the world that an aquarium buys the shark. But then they started picking up, they've got a problem with a high mortality rate of the sharks while they are being transported. So they tried various different things to try and figure out now why are the sharks dying as they're being transported. So eventually they realized they're not getting an answer. They looked at dietary issues. They looked at, you know, the shark in the state of the shark when it was in the tank and, you know, stress and all of those things. And they couldn't find an answer. So they realized they needed wisdom about the situation. So they turned to some scientists and said to them, will you please study for us this phenomenon and what is going on so that we can figure out how to deal with the problem? So the scientists did studies and took the sharks and, you know, did a whole lot of things to discover what the problem was. And then finally solved the problem and came with wisdom to them and said, your problem is that when these particular type of sharks eat, after they've eaten, they secrete an oily substance from their skins that when it goes into the water actually kills oxygen. So when they're in the open ocean, it's not a problem because there's enough oxygen around them and enough water. But when they're in a confined space for the time that you transport them, the oxygen in the water starts dying because of the secretion from their skin. So that's what's killing them. So they said, thank you very much. Now we've got the knowledge to know what the problem is. Now we have to find a solution for the problem. Now listen to this solution they came up with. What they realized is that the only way they can stop the sharks from excreting this from their skins is to keep them hungry. Because they only excrete this after they eat. So about 2 weeks before the sharks would get transported, they would not feed them. They would keep them hungry. So this was their solution. But this led to another problem. Because how do you now catch the shark? It's in the tank, swimming around, very nice and happy, but hungry. Now it has to get from its tank where it's swimming around, you know, one of these like, you know, like at aquariums, these big round things that they have, and they have to put them in the little tank. And the only way to do that is a couple of guys has to get in the tank with the shark and physically catch the sharks. How's that for wisdom for you? Sometimes wisdom can be a dangerous thing as we find solutions for life. Now, that's a silly story, but just to bring across the point that every day we encounter challenges. Every day we encounter things that we go, what is the right thing to do? Every day we have need for wisdom. Just to live our lives and to live life well and to be successful at life, we require wisdom. And it seems that wisdom is a little bit of a scarce commodity in that it's not just everywhere that you find it. You have to look for it. You have to want it. That people don't just have wisdom. It's something that people find when they look for it. And that's what we want to do for these next couple of months, is look for wisdom. Not so that we can understand and know things and sound clever when we talk to one another and impress each other with our pithy sayings, but wisdom for life. Wisdom that helps us live life to the best and to its fullest. How many of you want that kind of wisdom? How many of you want over the long term your life to be on a trajectory where it just keeps on getting better and better and better? How many of you want to eliminate the little things that destroy and harm and disrupt and frustrate your life? And for your life to, I don't think any of us are thinking that if we just read one little thing, then tomorrow everything's going to be better. But we understand that if we apply these things, slowly but surely, things will get better and better and better. And that's what we want to do, is we want to really look at God's word and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me about? So what I wanted to do today, this morning, is introduce this topic. And the title for today is Introduction to Wisdom. So to do this, I would like us to go to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1 is the beginning of the book of Proverbs. And in the first 9 verses, it actually puts out a little advert for us. It's like a little sneak preview, a little like on the package kind of deal that says, if you eat these foods or drink this medicine, then this will be the positive benefit that you will get from it. This is what the first 9 verses of the book of Proverbs does. It says, if you read this book, if you engage in this conversation, then these are the things that you could expect. And this is why you should do this and read this book. Proverbs 1, let's reread from verse 1 to 9. These are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. How many of you are interested in a success? I don't know about the word discipline so much, but the successful, that definitely grabs my attention. But I think it gives us a little hint there, doesn't it? Disciplined and successful lives. To help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The enticement of sinners, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Let us quickly take a look at just those first couple of verses and what it tells us and why we would like to engage in this book. I think the first thing you always ask when you read a portion, a book, an article, anything, is who wrote this? It's important to know. Now, most of us, I think, will know that the author of the book of Proverbs is this wonderful man by the name of Solomon. He was a king of Israel, a son of David, as it says in that scripture. Now, Solomon was this character that made it his life's mission to find wisdom. He wanted wisdom, and it seems from scripture more than anything else, he wanted wisdom. Remember when Solomon was made king? And if you know the story, when God came to him and said, Solomon, I want to give you a gift because you are the king now of Israel. What do you want? What would you like me to give you? And then we read that Solomon says the following when God asks him, what do you want me to give you? He says, I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And we read that God was pleased. God was amazed by this man who basically said, if I'm going to do this job of being the king, I need wisdom. How many of you know that a leader could have easily asked for a whole lot of different things, a whole lot of other things? But Solomon said, I am a little child. I know that I need wisdom. Socrates said, the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. The only true wisdom is in knowing that you know nothing. This is what Solomon says. He says, I'm just a child. I mean, he could have stood and said, you know, I'm the king. I'm the great guy. I was chosen by God and by the people to lead, and because I must have what it takes to be the king. But he stands before God in humility and he says, I know nothing. That's the beginning of wisdom, is to know that you need wisdom, that you don't know it all. A fool is the one that says, I know everything. A wise man says, I know nothing. I think Paul had echoed those same kind of words. I know so little. And he stands before God and he says, Lord, if it pleases you, will you grant me wisdom? Then God's response to Solomon is the following. Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself. Can we pray for leaders that do not ask for long life and wealth for themselves? Leaders that want to hold on to power, that want to live. Because for Solomon, if he asked for long life, that would mean for him to rule long. To stay, to hold on to power. Or leaders that says, I'm not in this for the wealth. God says, because that was not what you asked, nor have you asked for death, for the death of your enemies. He didn't ask for life to be easy. But for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon woke and realized he had a dream. Basically, what God was saying to him is that if you give your life to seek wisdom, there will be no one like you in your time. And that was fulfilled in Solomon's life. Solomon came to be known as Solomon the Wise. Not only do we know him as that, but the people of his day knew him as Solomon the Wise. He came to stand out amongst the kingdoms of the time as a man to go to if you needed wisdom on anything. You see, Solomon lived in a particular time where the kingdoms of the day were very interested in wisdom. It was a curious time for people. It was a time of innovation. It was a time where people asked a lot of questions. It was, for instance, the Babylonians were practicing certain of their knowledge skills at the same time. The Babylonians were very interested in how does life really work. They were scientifically engaging with a lot of things and saying, how does these work? And today we still live because of some of the innovations of the Babylonians. The Babylonians, for instance, discovered that there's a rhythm to life, that there's a time repetition, that the moon moves in certain patterns, the sun moves in certain patterns. And they were the ones that instituted a 24-hour day, a week, a month. The rhythms that we still practice today came about in this time, the time of Solomon. as people were really going and traveling and finding wisdom. And Solomon did the same. He built a library and he filled it with wisdom that he could find on any topic from anywhere in the world. He would go and search out things and record it and put it in his library. And he built up a vast library, and not only did he build up this library, but he started living a life that everybody could see. This man knew how to live life well. And so people, we have it recorded in scripture, that people would travel from all over the world and want to come and see Solomon and ask him questions. He was like the precursor to Google. Unfortunately, you just had to travel. So, you know, it was, I think somebody said, Solomon says. You would go and spend time with Solomon, probably pay lots of money and give him great gifts to ask him for wisdom about a specific thing. So Solomon, this author, became the personification of wisdom in his day. And he did us a great favor. Not only did he seek wisdom, but he recorded it. And we still today have some of this recorded wisdom in the book of Proverbs, among others. He wrote Proverbs, and in that he listed sort of his highlights reel. He put down some of the main wisdoms that he found and little sayings that he found. Now, I don't know if you do that, but I like quotes. I've got a file on my computer that I've had since about 1996 of wisdom sayings and little quotes that I've collected. It's called Quotes One on my MacBook. And I add to it consistently, and it's growing. And now I need to, at some point, to come and start grouping these things because it's just becoming too much. But I don't know if you like that, but isn't wisdom attractive? Isn't wisdom something we find? How often do you send somebody a little wisdom saying on WhatsApp or post it on your Facebook page or Instagram, a little saying that speaks to you? We do it all the time. And Solomon recorded these things and he sent it down to us through the ages. Solomon the wise. So we are privileged to have this great author that has recorded and did the trouble for us. Second thing you want to ask of a book is not only who wrote it, but you want to know what was the purpose of this book. And this first couple of verses tells us the purpose of the book of Proverbs is success, righteousness, justice, and fairness. Those sound like good things that we could do a bit with. How many of us would like to live in a world and in a city where righteousness, justice, and fairness rules so that more people can be successful, so that more people can have lives that are filled with success, good lives, lives being lived to its fullest? The next thing we want to ask ourselves when we look at a portion of or a book, any written material, is who's the audience? Who is it targeted towards? Am I in the audience of this book? Does this book, will it speak to me? Now, the book of, here in these verses on Proverbs, it says, this book is written for the simple. So, me, at least. I don't know if any of you, but me. At least it says I can read this book. It's written to the young. And it's interesting that a major theme in the book of Proverbs is the young. It actually seems to be the number one audience this book is written for, is for young people. So I want to encourage you, if you young, now you can define for yourself what that means. If you young, you need to spend time in this book. Because I think one of the reasons why it is written for the young is if you are young and you adopt these wisdom sayings and start living by it, you will have the time in your life to get the maximum benefit of it and minimize the wrong stuff and maximize the right stuff so that your chance for success will become much greater. The book is also written to the wise. If you think you are wise, and the little sort of subtext to that wise in the context is to the older, the people that have lived long, that think they know, that have accumulated some understanding about life, this book's also written to you. So, I think it's fair to say this book is written for everybody. Is there anyone here that you think you do not fall into any of those? The book is for all of us. The key message of the book. Now, this is what we're going to spend a lot of time on, but let me tell you this up front. The key message of this book, what is the foundation of the book of Proverbs, is that the beginning of wisdom, verse 7, is the fear of the Lord. Solomon is not just giving us a lot of wisdom, but he's actually saying, if you want to live well in this world, you must first understand that this world was created by God and for God. So not only must you ask the question, how do I live well and how do I gain success? You must say, how do I live well and gain success in a world created and ordered by God? That's a very important point. And that's sort of the summary of this book, the conclusion he comes to. And particularly if you include Ecclesiastes and the book of Job, that oldest book that is a wisdom book. It falls in the same category as this literature. It's this question that it says, how do I live in a world that God created? This wisdom will be applied to anybody. It'll work for anybody. But to get to its fullest, it must lead you to God, ultimately. And that's what we're going to do. Then, lastly, its context that it was written in was, we must remember that it was written in a community of people, by a community of people, and for a community of people. In what I mean by a community, yes, Solomon was one of the main authors, and just now we'll show you a little bit more about just others that contributed, but he did this in community in the sense of gathering wisdom from lots of people. So this is our context. We're not just wanting to read and go through this book for ourselves, but in a sense, we're coming before God as a community, as a family, and we're saying, Lord, how do you want us to live in the world that you created and ordered? And cover all the little things that is in that. So that's what we want to do over the next season. And really dig into this book. What I would like to do now, and the guys can get it ready, is show you a little video clip. Now, I've chosen to show you the video clip because I would like to for you to use this as a resource. We could have told you everything they've said, probably not as creative as they're going to do it on the video clip. But the main idea is this little video clip that we're going to show you, which gives you an outline of the book of Proverbs and how to read and what to consider when you read the book of Proverbs, is that we will make it available on all our social media platforms, and that you can actually then go and review this from time to time. Because this for me is a very key aspect of our journey through the book of Proverbs. Is I would really encourage you and really be very thrilled if this could be a season where we each engage with this book ourselves. Studies have shown over and over and over that the number one thing that is salient towards people's long-term spiritual health, growth, maturing, is when people engage with the Word of God for themselves. It's important to listen to good sermons. I mean, it's my life. It's really very important to have good sermons. But can I tell you, a good sermon only takes you so far. But if you can read the Word for yourself, I think back of my life and how every time that I was wrestling with a certain topic and I turned to the Scripture for myself and started reading and studying the Scripture and wrestling with that Scripture, I can remember every one of those answers God gave me and how the Scripture revealed it to me. Because that's the power of the Scripture. The Scripture brings life. And God made sure this miracle that each of us has a Scripture for ourselves. And we would like this to be a time where we even grow and develop our skill and ability to read the Scripture. Because can I tell you, there's a skill required to read the Scripture and get out of it the maximum that it's supposed to. So we really want to encourage you, and I'm going to say something more about that just now. Take this portion of Scripture and get stuck in it for yourself. And that's why I want to show you this video clip, and we're going to make it available so that you can view it again. Because now you're going to see it for the first time, lots of information, and a lot of it you're just going to sort of miss. I've probably seen this like 5 or 6 times now, and I think I'm starting to get it. So, you know, but that's just me. I fall in that simple category. So you may be quicker, you know, but for the rest of you that are like me, go and view it again and just let's dig into this. So I'm going to ask the guys if they can quickly show us this video clip. It's about 9 minutes long, so it is quite a bit comfortable. And let's view this together. Thanks, guys.
The book of Proverbs The word proverb typically refers to a short, clever saying that offers some kind of wisdom, and this book has a lot of those. But they're almost all in the center section of the book, chapters 10 to 29. But there is way more going on in the book of Proverbs, especially at the beginning, chapters 1 through 9, and the conclusion, chapters 30 and 31. The book's been designed with an introduction, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and it first of all links this book to King Solomon. Now remember the story in 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon had asked God for wisdom to lead Israel well. And so Solomon became known as the wisest man in the ancient world. And we're told in 1 Kings chapter 4 that he wrote thousands of proverbs and poems and collected knowledge about plants and animals. So Solomon was like the fountainhead of Israel's wisdom literature. So while not all the material in this book is written by him personally, he is where Israel's wisdom tradition The introduction says that by reading this book, you too can gain wisdom. Now, wisdom for most of us means knowledge, but the Hebrew word chokmah means much more than just mental activity. It refers to action also. So think skill or applied knowledge. This is why back in the book of Exodus, chapter 31, it was artists and craftsmen in Israel who were said to have chokmah. So the purpose of this book is to help you develop a set of practical skills for living well in God's world. And this gets linked with another key idea in the introduction, the fear of the Lord. Now fear here is not about terror. It's about a healthy sense of reverence and awe for God and about my place in the universe. It's a moral mindset that recognizes I am not God and that I don't get to make up my own definitions of good and evil and right. And wrong. Rather, I need to humble myself before God and embrace God's definition of right and wrong, even when that's inconvenient for me. Now, this introduction leads us into the first main section of the book, chapters 1 through 9, which also doesn't contain short one-liner proverbs. Rather, what we find here are 10 speeches from a father to a son about how the son should listen to wisdom and cultivate the fear of the Lord and live accordingly, which means a life of virtue and integrity and generosity, all of which lead to success and peace. The father warns his son also about falling into evil and stupid decisions that will breed selfishness and pride, all leading to ruin and shame. And so the son should make the pursuit of wisdom and the fear of the Lord his highest goal in life. And this way of thinking informs the moral logic of this entire book. Now, these speeches from the father also clue us into what biblical wisdom literature is and how it's different from other parts of the Bible. These books explore how to live well in God's world, but wisdom is not the same as law, like what Moses gave Israel at Mount Sinai. And it's not the same as prophecy, divine speech to God's people. Rather, wisdom literature has the accumulated insight of God's people through the generations about how to live in a way that honors God. And so, through the book of Proverbs now, these human words about wisdom have been put together as God's word and wisdom to his people, which connects to the other thing we find in chapters 1 through 9. There are four poems from Lady Wisdom. Here, wisdom has been poetically personified as a woman who calls out to humanity to pay attention and to seek her. Wisdom says that she is woven into the fabric of the universe, and so wherever you see people making wise decisions, they are relying on her. So you see someone being generous, or having sexual integrity, or upholding justice, they are drawing on wisdom. These Lady Wisdom poems, they're a creative, poetic way of exploring this idea that we live in God's moral universe. And that goodness and justice are objective realities that we ignore to our own peril. And so fearing the Lord, living wisely, it's living along the grain of the universe. Now together, these two sets of speeches from the Father and Lady Wisdom, they make a powerful claim about this book. That you're not simply reading good advice, you're reading God's own invitation to learn wisdom from previous generations. And so in the next section of the book, chapters 10 through 29, we find hundreds of ancient proverbs, and they apply wisdom and the fear of the Lord to every life topic you could imagine. Family, work, neighborhood, friendship, sex, marriage, money, anger, forgiveness, alcohol, debt, everything. And these are all filtered through the value system of Proverbs 1 through 9. Now these proverbs, they're all pretty short, they're easy to memorize, and actually this section of the book is meant to become a reference work. that you return to time and time again throughout the years, which raises some important issues in learning how to read these proverbs. First of all, proverbs are by nature about probabilities. So if you fear the Lord and you make wise, good choices, things will likely go well for you. And if you don't fear the Lord, you're foolish, your life will likely not go so well. Now, that is all often true, but not always. Which leads to the next point, that proverbs are not promises. They're not formulas for success. So, some proverbs, for example. The fear of the Lord prolongs your life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Or, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't turn from it. So yes, fearing God, being a moral person, will most likely lead to a better and longer life, and raising your kids in a stable, loving home does set them up well, but there are no guarantees. Lots of things can and often do go wrong in our world. And so lastly, proverbs by nature focus on the general rule, but not the exceptions, which are many. And the wisdom books actually aren't ignorant of that. The exceptions are what the other wisdom books, Job and Ecclesiastes, are all about. And together, these acknowledge that life is too complex for simple formulas, which is why we need all of the wisdom books together to get the bigger picture. This all leads to the final section of the book, two large collections of poems. First, poems from a man named Agur, who begins by acknowledging his own ignorance and folly and his great need for God's wisdom. And then Agur discovers that divine wisdom has been given to him in the scriptures, which teach him how to live well. And so Agur is put before us as like a model reader of the book of Proverbs, somebody who's always open to hearing God's wisdom through the scriptures. The final poems are connected to a man named Lemuel. He's a non-Israelite king. And he passes on the wisdom that was given to him by his mom. It's guidance for being a wise and just leader. And then the final poem is an acrostic, or an alphabet poem, where each line begins with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the entire poem's about the woman of noble character. It depicts a woman who lives according to the wisdom of Proverbs and stands like a model of someone who takes God's wisdom and then translates it into practical decisions in everyday life, at work or at home, in her family and in her community. So the book opened with words from a father to a son about listening to Lady Wisdom, and so now the book closes by offering the words of a mother to her son about a woman who lives wisely. The book of Proverbs is for every person in every season of life. It's a guide for living wisely and well in God's good world. And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about.
We thank the guys from Read the Bible who put that together. And as I've said, you can visit that on any of our platforms, our social media platforms. I know the guys who may have just listened to that on the radio. Also, please go and get that resource and look at that for yourself. And so we want to journey through this amazing book, the book of Proverbs. And there's a couple of ways that we would like you to encourage you to do this with us. So our journey is going to consist of the following steps that we're going to do. First of all, we want to read the book, and we want to read the book together. So God has pre-planned and ordained it from the beginning of the universe that we as Hatfield will do this now. That's why he put 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs and 31 days in August. Don't you think that's so neat that that was done and planned for us by God? So for the month of August, we're going to do a bit of a reading challenge, and we encourage you to read the book a chapter a day. Just read it every day, read a chapter. And we're going to have some fun things that we're going to do with that and use social media to just, you know, engage all of us with that. And we'll put out there for you different ways that we will communicate to you about those chapters, and a reading plan is being put together. So that's going to be fun, and we're going to launch that next Sunday at the service and then start on the Monday with that. Again, nicely worked out by God. We do it on the Sunday, it starts on the Monday. Just, you know, this was planned. This was God. So the first is read the book, and that's important. You can, if you want to, because this clip said that Proverbs is part of wisdom literature. There's also the books of Ecclesiastes and the book of Job. that deal with a different aspect of wisdom. You're also welcome to read those, but we are going to focus on the book of Proverbs. Then we'd like you to remember the book. The great trouble was taken by Solomon and those that wrote this book to do it in a poetic form to make it memorable so that it becomes little sayings that you can carry with you and remember. So don't you think it'll be a great idea if as you read the book, you can actually record for yourself a couple from every chapter and make that sort of a mission to memorize every week a couple of those sayings and have it and perhaps put it up in your home and put it, you know, as a screensaver or however, just to keep sort of remembering these things that the book of Proverbs are saying to us. And then the last step is to regard the book. We would like you to regard the book, and that just means to think through it, to engage with it, to apply it, to take the, when the proverb says something, to say, now, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for us? What does that mean in the context that we're living today? Is that still relevant? Does that apply? How do we apply that? Regard the book. And to make that possible and to help with that, our preaching is on Sundays is going to be on themes that we're going to do. And we've divided the book of Proverbs into four main sections, just to make it easier for us to engage with. So these sections aren't necessarily going to follow your reading, but we want you to, as you read, to sort of pick up things that speak about these four sections. The four sections is the first one that we'll start with is wise words. The first one is wise God. Now, God, wise God, why we want to start with wise God is because we want to lay that foundation that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And to sort of settle that. How is God really the beginning of all wisdom? Because that's a bold claim to make. It's a countercultural claim to make. That the beginning of all, not just spiritual wisdom, but all wisdom. How to live life well, justice, righteousness, fairness, all these things. We're saying you come to God to find that. So how can that be? The second one is wise words. The book of Proverbs does a whole lot about communication, how to interact. And we want to look at that. Wise ties is a topic that we're going to cover because, again, the book of Proverbs speaks a lot about relationships, how to have good relationships within families, even with enemies, even with animals, even with the world around you, the created universe, how do you relate? So there's a whole lot of stuff there that we want to consider and regard. And then the last one will be wise ways. And that'll be a collection of all sort of other little elements that is covered in the book of Proverbs about what are some of the vices we should stay away from, how to make good decisions, what are the characteristics we want to develop in our life, and just a whole lot of different little things that we'll touch on. So you can see that our journey through this book is going to be quite wide in the sense of how many different things it's going to cover. But I think it will work because we all really desire it to work and engage with it. So please don't make this a topic where you say, oh, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and listen to a message. But let it be more something of, I am engaging with God's word. And when we come together on a Sunday and one of us, whoever preaches and shares the word that day about this topic, then it's to add and to give some perspective, and you can put that with what you're thinking, and really let's come together and seek wisdom. Remember, it's the fool that thinks he knows everything. It's the wise that says, I don't know nearly enough. Perhaps I even know nothing. But God has made a promise that if you ask, he will give you wisdom. Remember, how many of you remember James 1 verse 5? If any of you lack wisdom, let him come to God and ask of God. And God will generously and without reproach give wisdom to those who seek it. Solomon became a wise man because he wanted to be a wise man. He sought wisdom. He took the trouble. And remember, this is not just wisdom so that we can sound clever. This is wisdom that changes our lives. This is practical, real-life wisdom. So are you eager to join with us in this journey? Are you prepared to do this? It's going to take a little bit of work from you. Sorry about that. But, I mean, it sort of is how the way it works, isn't it? So We would love you to engage with us and participate. And if you want to on Facebook or any of the other mediums, post and say, this is what God is speaking to me about. And let's really get together and rally around this as we do this. Because I think earlier in the service, there was such a beautiful sense of the Father's heart for us. And as we prayed and ministered to people and people that were struggling with something. And our Father is so good. He doesn't just say, come to me and let me solve your problems. He says, come to me. I will help you and strengthen you, but show you how to live life. And in that, we become wisdom to others again. And that's our privilege. So won't you stand with me? The worship team, if you guys can join me on stage, it'll be great. I'd appreciate it. What I'm going to ask of you at this moment, those of you that are watching the service on YouTube or listening to it on the radio, is to make a decision. Because we can do all of this and it can mean absolutely nothing to you. That's the reality of it. But if we can decide to say, Lord, I want wisdom. And I'm going to do the work and I'm going to participate. Then I think God will reward. Jesus said, if you seek me and you seek me with some of your heart, in your spare time, when it's convenient to you, when everybody else is seeking me. No, if you seek me and you seek me with all of your heart. I think there's a little bit of that we want, don't we? Say, Lord, I want your wisdom more than anything else. So I need you to make that decision this morning that you are ready to do that, to seek God's wisdom. So let's just close our eyes if you're comfortable to do that. Dear Lord, we just want to come before you as a community, as a people. And we want to come in humility and say, we recognize, Lord, that there's a whole lot we just don't know. And there's some things that we may know mentally, but perhaps we struggle to live it practically. But we come to you and we ask for wisdom. We want to live the lives that you have made available for us. We want to live lives that honor you, lives that display wisdom. So that like in Solomon's day, people could even come and say, wow, can you show me and tell me about your life? Come, Holy Spirit. I want you to use your own word right now. And just speak to your Father for yourself and say, Father, I want wisdom. I ask of you. Perhaps if you're like me, you can say to the Father, Lord, I want wisdom, but you know I get distracted very easily. You know I'm a bit lazy and, or. But help me, give me the grace and the strength to do this. I want your treasures. Just ask the Father for yourself if you haven't done so yet. Let me give you a minute. Lord, there's this bold statement that James makes that says, if you ask, God will generously give. And we look forward to the generous wisdom of our generous Father. We receive it today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we make this commitment that we will not only receive your wisdom, but we will live your wisdom. And we thank you for that commitment we can make today. We love you, Lord. Such an honor to be your children and to be together. May your blessing and your favor be upon this journey and this process as we undertake it in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Amen. This week we're going to have the TCN conference here at our church as we do annually, and the churches that relate to us from across the country is going to come. And on Wednesday night, there's an open session. If you want to come and join us, it'll be in the minor auditorium. You're welcome to do that. The Thursday night is unfortunately not an open session, but come and join with us and pray that it'll be a great time. I know many of you are helping and volunteering, and thank you for that. If you want prayer this morning, I know we've prayed for people, but perhaps you again say, I need prayer for something. If you're trusting God for healing in your body, we want to pray for you, because the scripture says, if any of you are ill, let him come. Let the elders lay hand on him, anoint him with oil, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Come, let us pray for you. But we love you and we bless you for this week, and we'll see you sometime somewhere. And thank you for being with us today. Amen. Mm-hmm.